Welcome to the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.
Hey, welcome to this month's podcast. I want to delve right into the content today. I want to talk to you about the subject of racism in politics. It's a pretty controversial content and subject matter, but as a leader, we have to, particularly as a Christian leader, we have to approach these issues in a way that reflects the heart of Jesus. Here's the reality, and no one needs to tell you this. Our world is on fire. It's a tinderbox. Just the slightest spark is setting fires everywhere. And here's the reality, though, about being one of God's the child of God, or a leader in the kingdom. We don't run away from fires. We run into the fires. We bring water into the fires in our world, not gasoline. We are the people that are salt and light and the preservative. But we also know that we are in a presidential election year. And $2.5 billion is going to be spent for someone to get a job that pays $400,000 a year. I think it's fair to say the $2.5 billion being spent are not being spent so someone could get that job, but rather so that people who give that money can have their views and their wishes reflected in governmental policy. So here's my hope today. I want to tear down any potential political idols in my life and your life so that none of us would lift our politics above our God. Now, if you're not careful, and if you're honest, and if you're engaged, this is an issue for all of us. And when we approach the issue of racism in our nation, it's been politicized at a level that it's made a solution next to impossible. And if history has proven anything to us, it's this, that apart from the love of God, we will never be able to defeat the giant of racism, or for that matter, any giant in our world. But here's the fact about politics. Politics is a divider. The love of God is a uniter. I want to say that again because I want you to grasp this. Politics is a divider. The love of God is a uniter. So it's my hope to move all of us as leaders, as Christian leaders, away from trusting a political solution. And this is a solution to try to fix a 6,000-year-old problem of man's inhumanity to man. My hope is to move you away as a leader from trusting political answers. That doesn't mean we don't have a political expression as a Christian. It doesn't mean that our voting should not reflect Christian values and policies that are clearly taught in Scripture. But if you make the political solution first to you, that you will not reflect the heart of God in our world. If you're political first and a Christian second, you're going to reject what I'm about to say to you. See, because the fact of it is, people are angry right now, everywhere and about everything. And if you mishear me today, in anger, you're going to fight for your opinions instead of in love, that is the love of God, fighting for people. The Bible tells us that anger is a normal human emotion. In fact, we're commanded to be angry, as you well know in Ephesians, but then it goes on to say, but sin not. It's impossible to look at the issues in our world today with COVID and the politics that have just sunk into that issue. It's a presidential election year, so everything's being used for everything. And then the racial divide in our country. I want to get very, very real with you today and talk to you about how if you politicize something first and become a Christian second, you will actually harm the people you say you care about. James 1:20 says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger is normal, but if it's your leader, it will not produce the righteousness of God. It will produce the will of man. We are called, every one of us, to be disciples of Jesus, period. Not disciples of a political party. So John, are you political? Do you have political views? Absolutely. I am incredibly, I have strong political views. But remember this, guys, we are Christians first. We are Christians first. We are disciples of Jesus, followers of him, not surrogates to any political party. We're commanded by God to be kingdom first people. Jesus said in John 13, I'm giving you a new commandment, not a suggestion, a commandment. Love each other. Now, here's the quality of love. Just as I have loved you, you need to love each other. Your love for one another will prove, and I want you to hear that, it will prove to the world, not to the church, not to Christians, but it will prove to the world Jesus died for. It will prove to the world that you follow me, you're my disciples. So the question we have to ask is, as Christians, as Christian leaders, how did Jesus love? Jesus loved sacrificially. Remember this about love, the love of God. Love always does, not every other time. Love always does what is in the best interest of the other. We can't think we're going to be able to share Jesus with the world apart from the example of revealing his love. Because the world without Jesus, Jesus said they need to see proof. They don't need to see my opinions. They don't need to see my politics. They need to see that Jesus is alive and loving in and through me and in and through you. A while back, I was just praying, and this came up into my heart. What would Jesus post? In other words, get a bracelet instead of the initials. What would Jesus do? WWJD, WWJP. What would Jesus post? Thinking about what you say, thinking about the words you use, the battles that you fight, we've got to fight the right battles. Because here's what I know about politics. Once any issue becomes politicized, the people at the heart of that issue will become an afterthought. I'm going to say that again, because as Christian leaders, we can't get caught up to where the issue transcends the people. So let me say that to you one more time. Once an issue becomes politicized, the people at the heart of that issue will become an afterthought. You know, the issue right now that we're dealing with, racism. If you let this politicized, you're going to hear, well, white privilege, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. What about this? And this doesn't mean that. And I don't agree with this. But at the end of the day, do people matter to you? Do Black Lives Matter to me? Yeah, if I don't agree with the political, forget the political. When I die, there won't be a politician that I stand before. It'll be a living God. I saw a video a while back of a Black woman who was a policeman, in the New Orleans area. And she was going to work. And all this that's going on as a policeman and as a Black woman in the middle of all this, you can only imagine what she's going through. While she's pumping gas, this kid gets out of a cab, younger than her, and she couldn't have been more than 28. Probably a 22, 23-year-old kid gets out of his cab. He's not a pastor. He's not a politician. He's not some great business leader. He's a kid driving a cab. And he walks over to her and he said, hey, I know that so much is going on in our world today with issues with you being a policeman and issues of race and racism. And is it okay? Can I just pray for you? This young woman said she immediately got chills, and she said, yeah, we need more prayer. He said, I want to cover you with my prayers. And he prayed for her. He prayed over her for the pain that she may be feeling, both as a police person as well as a Black person. Let me ask you a question. When this is all said and done, and I don't mean this issue, I mean your life, and you stand before God, and you look back at this season of your life and the life in our nation, I think I'd like to be the kid in the cab. I think I'd like to be the person who, instead of made it about a broad issue and all the ways it's been politicized and all the political lies and half-truths that occur in anything that's politicized, I think I'd like to look back and stand before God and say, Lord, I acted like that kid in the cab because he chose to love a person and not fight for an issue or against an issue. The scripture tells us love never fails. Now listen, guys, this is important. Never. It never fails. This is the only way a world without Jesus will know that we follow him. Not if our views are correct. Not if we give an allegiance to a political party. But if we walk with God and we love human beings. Now, look, the Apostle Paul exercised political influence and power. It just wasn't first in his life. I don't have time to go into it, but you know there were times when Paul used his Roman citizenship, he used his political authority, but he never, ever put it first. In fact, he used it to preach the gospel because the political system is flawed at its foundation. Why? Because human beings are flawed and sinful. You know, Jesus had a very, very strong view of political power. In the Gospel of Luke, let me read it to you. It says in Luke 22, in verse 24, this is when the disciples were fighting for and jockeying for strength and position and power. Within minutes, the disciples were bickering over who of them would end up being the greatest. But Jesus intervened, and that's what he's trying to do in my life, in your life right now. Jesus said this. He said, kings, and we could say politicians, people of influence, like to use their power, now listen to this, on those, not for those, on those who are under their authority. And while doing so, they call themselves a philanthropist or a benefactor. Now, Jesus said, among you, it must be different. For those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Jesus said, here's what politicians are going to do. They're going to deal with issues, and those issues, they're going to pretend are about you. And they're going to exercise their power, not for those under their authority, but on those under their authority. And while they use you, they're going to say, I'm doing you good. If there is anything that pictures the most clear painting of politics today, is that the issues, the persons that are suffering, end up being marginalized. Not all politicians, now let me start, not all politicians are corrupt, as well as not all policemen are obviously aren't murdering racists. So I'm not trying to say that there aren't good-intended people, but the system itself is flawed because all politics is rooted in the retention of power and in the necessity of dividing people. If I'm going to run for an election, I have to create a difference between you and my opponent. Now, if in righteousness that definition of that difference is just clear and laid out, fine. But we know that's not what happens. Half sentences and half truths, and before long, they make their opponent look like Adolf Hitler. And it's regardless of party. Jesus himself experienced the reality of this political, if you will, corruption in his own life with Pontius Pilate. You know, of course, he was standing before Pilate. Pilate was judging him. And Pilate was wanting to release him. He said, this man's not guilty of death. But in Mark 15:15, it said, but Pilate, wanting to satisfy the crowd, he released Barabbas to them. And then he had Jesus flogged, and he handed him over to be crucified. Pilate crucified an innocent man to satisfy the crowd. The inherent flaw in politics is that it uses the issue for power, not to solve the problem for people. Let me say that again, because as Christian leaders, we can't be sucked into this. The inherent flaw in politics is that it uses the issue for power, not solve the problem for people. The love of God in me and the love of God in you makes the person suffering the only issue. And when you start with the individual suffering and your political solution is centered singularly on that, then you have a completely different perspective. The love of God never fails. Let me make this real. Let me take you into a family, into our church, the church I pastor. Because again, if you politicize it, well, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. I don't believe this and that. Ferguson, this wasn't true. And before long, people, what about the person suffering? They get lost. So let me bring you into a family in our church. We have a family in our church. It's a Black family. And they moved into the area and they have two teenage girls. This is just recent. The girls went to a local school. I won't mention the district. This exists everywhere. These are teenage girls, Black teenage girls going to school for the first time. The first day at school, twice this was said to them. Why don't you go back to Africa? Now, they didn't even know who they were, but because of the melanin in their skin, a student who was raised to think and basically be a racist says to a new student who, imagine being a new student, and that's the first thing you hear, go back to Africa. Later on, in weeks there, there was a senior project or some project being done, and the young man that said it to the one girl was having to build a project out that had to do with the Civil War. And he said, well, I'm building this out and creating this kind of diagram and this model, and I'm going to put slave quarters in mine, and I'm going to write your family name on it. Imagine if that's your daughter. Kids in her school during this racial crisis in America, have posted and liked a posting that said, hey, if you're going to come out of the cities and fight us out in the rural areas, don't mess with us, and then use the N-word. And then said that N-word, meaning George Floyd, who was murdered by a policeman with his knee on his neck. George Floyd, here's exact words in the video. That N-word got what he deserved. Now imagine if you're that teenage girl. Imagine what it feels like to see people in your class like that post. You see, this isn't an us and them issue, a black and white issue. It's a we issue. You see, the only way not to feel the pain of others in the body of Christ and others in our world is to be cut off from it. You see, the only way my body ceases to feel the pain of my entire body is if that part of my body's cut off. Years ago, I stubbed my toe so badly, my baby toe, that it literally, I walked past a piece of furniture and it stayed behind. It was so bad that my not just my foot, but my calf into my thigh, in the back of my thigh and my calf, turned black with blood. That's how bad it was. I called one of my friends growing up, a great friend of mine. My parents had a deep impact in his life. He's a doctor. I said, Sam, man, my toe is gone. What do I do? He said, well, listen, tape it to your other toe. It's your baby toe. If it turns black and gets gangrene, we'll kill it. We'll cut it off. He said, and so I did what he told me, and it ended up being okay. But can I tell you that when my body was in that pain, every inch of my body was in pain. The hair in my ears hurt. The only way that you cannot feel the pain of others is to be cut away from them. Politics cuts you away from the pain of the people that we say we're trying to serve. Let me wind up by just using a couple terms that are pretty insightful today. White privilege. Well, let me, white privilege. I'll tell you what I think about white privilege, and we're going to go political now. Black people aren't the only people that have problems. I have problems. No one's helped me. Who reached out to help me? No one's giving. And then on the other side, you can have black people saying, you know, white people are all privileged. They're all racist at some level. And it becomes politicized. I don't have any white privilege. My God, you can have my life. But the love of God is a uniter. The love of God looks to the person. The love of God asks this question as a 59-year-old white guy with white kids. My daughters have never experienced what this family in my church experienced. My daughters have never come home and been called the N-word. My daughters have never been accused of stealing because of the color of their skin. My daughters have never had anyone in school say these type of things to them. And let me tell you, it's a privilege being white that didn't happen to them. Yeah, but what about this? Forget the whatabouts. Don't let the political crap drive your heart. I don't care about what someone said about white privilege that you don't agree with or I don't agree with. It is a simple privilege to say that my daughters will never experience that. And can I feel the pain of those girls? And in this moment, do they know that their pastor, who happens to be white, cares about the pain they're in, no matter where it comes from? Black Lives Matter. Yeah, well, politics, well, you talk about division. That started in Ferguson, and that story wasn't even true. And Black Lives, and all lives matter. Blue Lives Matter. Yes, of course Blue Lives Matter. Policemen matter. Of course all lives matter. But when a fireman goes into a neighborhood and one house is on fire, of course all the houses matter. But the house on fire matters at that moment. And I want to ask you to consider as a Christian, are you being politicized first? Black Lives Matter. We need to defund the police because the police are all racist. And yet the Bible says policemen are ministers of God in the book of Romans. So as a Christian, I'm going to support defunding what God endorses because of a small level of corruption within a small group of people. Every profession has corruption in it. And if you happen to be a minister, that includes ours. But the love of God is a uniter. Wouldn't it be just okay to say this and forget what people make up politically? Because when people ask me, what do you think about Black Lives Matter? You want to know what I say? Black Lives Matter to me. Yeah, but the political, you keep your politics. Black Lives Matter to me. This family whom I love in this church, who happens to be black, they matter to me. This family who has experienced the unthinkable simply because of the melanin in their skin, they matter to me, and they need to know they matter to me. Let's be the kid in the cab. Let's run into the fire with water. Let's walk up to people who are suffering today for whatever reason and deal with the suffering and the pain. What if every Christian loved like this right now? Jesus said, all men would know you're my disciples. And you want to have influence? This is where you'll get influence, when you actually go into the problem and care for the person suffering. I want to just give you one simple next step that defines every next step all of us should take. And it's found in Romans 12, verse 9. It says this, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Now hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. It's interesting, the Bible says that we can have genuine affection. What does that mean? That means we can have feigned affection. We can have fake affection. He said, don't pretend to love. Let's just love. Let's really do it. Let's go into the issues of our day, whatever they may be, and let's forget the issue first and go to the person suffering and make a difference in a person's life. Have you made a difference, whether you be white or whether you be black or whatever race you are? Have you made a difference during this crisis of COVID and this racial crisis? Have you made a difference in someone's life that is measurable? Look at your post on Facebook and Instagram. Have they just pontificated political views? Or have they spoken to the pain in people and your desire to make a difference in individual lives? Have you given any money to people in need? Have you served anybody with your time and your talent? See, if we don't do those things, then we're just politicians. I agree. Listen, I'm not saying that we don't have a political responsibility. Of course we do. It's a privilege to have that in this nation. But let's not put it first. I want to pray over you that you would pray this simple prayer as I'm praying for myself. And it's simply this, that God, would you search my heart? Not this person's view, that person's view, this politician, this party, that party. Search my heart. Oh God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you, that I would please you, that I would love and serve people like you did, so that all men would know that I'm your disciple, so that a world lost and dying without Christ can come to know him and spend eternity with you. So it's my prayer as a leader, and my prayer for you as a leader, that you'll let God touch so deeply in your heart the care for people, that as you approach politics, that they never transcend or come before the heart of God for people and your heart for people from the love of God coming out of you. Look forward to our time next month. I'm praying for you and for our nation. God bless you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. Your reviews expand our reach. So if you enjoy listening to this podcast, please take time to rate and review us. We look forward to having you with us on the next episode of the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.